Smart cities promised urban techtopias, so where are they? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. As the new year approaches, we're reviewing an episode we originally produced in August, all about what future smart cities could look like. And while a city built by artificial intelligence could be convenient, not everyone is buying in. Early in the pandemic, Sidewalk Labs, an offshoot of Google, announced it was shutting down a big project in Toronto called Quayside that was meant to be a testing ground for smart city concepts, a hyper-connected neighborhood built from the ground up, with things like an underground network of package delivery robots. But even before the pandemic, it ran into the same problems that have dogged other smart city projects around the world. Shannon Mattern wrote about them in her new book, A City is Not a Computer, Other Urban Intelligences. She's a professor of anthropology and design at the New School. She says optimizing cities for connectivity often means giving up privacy.
So in order for something to be a smart environment, you have to have these really macro scale levels of connectivity between technologies. You have to have smart buildings with kind of biometric recognition systems, automated building management systems. And then at the level of the private kind of domicile, the private home or apartment, you have all kinds of sensors and probably cameras to provide for security, for environmental control. And then at the micro scale, we have sensors all over our bodies, you know, our smartwatches, our smartphones. All of these things are talking to each other. And yes, that does present a lot of conveniences that are very exciting to some people, but also a lot of concerns about privacy, about what happens to the data, about the commodification of human beings, kind of their transformation into walking data sets.
Our understanding of what a smart city would be is flowing from the tech world, which has its own problems, right? I mean, we've seen with the application of many technologies that who is designing it has a very big bearing on how it affects the world.
Absolutely. And this was something that some students and I, when we took a field trip to a notable smart city kind of development area, some of the tech developers there were kind of proposing their utopian visions to us, one of which was you would step out of your luxury apartment building, the Uber would be waiting for you, and all of a sudden a drone would drop from the sky with an iced Americano and deposit it in your hand. And just the idea that this was somebody's idea of a perfect, you know, urban future, it tells you a bit about who is doing the imagining and who's developing the technology and who's left out of those imaginaries.
Do you think that smart is the best descriptor to describe these projects?
To be honest, the smart terminology is incredibly annoying to me. It's ubiquitous. It's used to mean so many different things. But I also think that it's a reductive term. If we think of smartness as something we're aspiring to, it's a very different, narrowly conceived model of intelligence and knowledge. So smartness is something, again, that can be datafied, shown on a dashboard, something that can be optimized. There are so many other different types of wisdom, knowledge, indigenous ways of knowing, community understandings that don't lend themselves to those ways of knowing. They can't be turned into smartness.
Shannon Mattern is the author of A City is Not a Computer, Other Urban Intelligences. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.